This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, it is Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. That's what we do here every Tuesday night. The number, if you want to join right away, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Johnny, it is good to see that you are out of the traffic jam. You were texting me about the possibility that you were going to have to do it from the road. It's nice.
You know,
it's just wonderful to see you there.
Yeah, man, I made it. So I always panic when I'm in traffic. So I was like, I'm not going to make it, Tim. I'm going to be a little bit late, or I'll join from the car. But made it plenty of time. And it was a special day because we had a doctoral defense back to back this afternoon. And it's that season. So was glad to be able to make it for the show.
You know, making sure that you're earning the chops as an educated educator so that when you come on this show, you know how to talk education. That's Busted Pencils. And, you know, Johnny, we're going to jump. You know, I know we're competing with the potential past president in his announcement. Although I would say it's probably not much of a competition. Busted Pencils versus the past ex-president. I think Busted Pencils wins out the day. Listeners out there, appreciate it. Student loan forgiveness. Johnny, you were off the night when Evan and I really introduced this topic when it was first put forth by the Biden administration. And just, you know, we put this out there and like, wow, what an awesome thing to hear about this. You know, $10,000, $20,000 if you're a Pell Grant person, the potential to actually wipe the slate clean for some people, to give people a start coming into the new year. Awesomeness, you know, and Evan and I talked about this, and you know, we know that there are certain people that seem to think that it could be a problem, and lo and behold, what in the world happened? CNBC yesterday, a federal appeals court Monday issued a nationwide injunction temporarily barring the Biden administration's student loan debt relief program. The ruling by the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in St. Louis is the latest in a series of legal challenges to President Joe Biden's plan to cancel up to $20,000 in student debt for millions of Americans. The Biden administration stopped accepting applications for its relief on Friday after a federal district judge in Texas struck down its plan Thursday evening, calling it unconstitutional. Well, Johnny, on a topic like this, you and I could dig it out, but you know what? This is a justice issue, man. And where you go, student loan justice. Alan, welcome to Busted Pencils. How are you doing, my friend?
Hey, guys. Could be better, but very glad to be with you here tonight.
So check it. Student loan justice. Before we get into the topic at hand, why don't you give us a little bit about the organization you represent, Student Loan Justice, where people can find you. Just, you know, here's your opportunity, Alan. Sell it to the world.
Sure. We are the first, the oldest, and now thankfully the largest truly grassroots group fighting only and absolutely for, you guessed it, student loan justice. For the first 15 or so years of our existence, we were fighting very moderately only for the return of bankruptcy rights to student loans. But we actually started the public conversation around canceling loans by executive order with a petition that we started in March 2020, which has grown to over a million signatures now. And you know, I should be thrilled to say that we've now, 2 years later, we have a sitting president that's announced a loan cancellation by executive order, but as we'll discuss later, I'm not quite so thrilled.
Oh my God. Wait, I thought that I was bringing you on the show to cheer us up out here, thinking that maybe that this is gone. Johnny's got his head back there. Evan, I know Evan wants to jump on. Evan, you know what? For a second, I mean, you were so excited about this because it was going to literally let Evan start his slate clean in January. I mean,
I still am
Evan,
excited, buddy.
Okay. What?
I still am excited. I mean, the onus, as it were, for this lawsuit is pretty shaky. I can't quote it off the top of my head, but it's an activist group, you know, that filed this injunction, basically saying it's not fair, right? Recipient of PPP loans, you know, this person saying that, oh, some people get this money. That's just not fair. I got to be able to get it too, even though I didn't go to school or I already paid for my loans. So I'm not so worried about this tanking the entire program just yet.
All right, Evan, thanks for putting in a little bit of a word there. Johnny, what about you, man? Student loans, what do you think?
Come
you
on, know, man, you I'm degreed up, so I'm strapped with those. I'm strapped with them. And you know, I think it's important when we start to think about, you know, in general, what we can do to truly stimulate the economy, to stabilize things, to build around, you know, economies of reciprocity, and prioritizing, you know, not only education, but all the ways that we go into careers and pathways. And so, you know, I get really excited about it. I've just come to terms with it's the most expensive bill I have every month for the last 10 years, you know, and so I've gotten used to that. But it shouldn't be that way, because I've already twice probably paid the amount I've borrowed. And I haven't even quite done a dent in it. And when I do that math, you know, I'm a math teacher. So when I do that math for my friends who say, but I shouldn't have to, you know, stand by while you benefit from some kind of relief from something you made a decision to choose, you know, to get your education, and you could have done it 19,000 other ways. You know, I just do the math for them, and they start to think like, oh, well, that's something different. I don't think general public realizes that most of us will have this debt for an enormous amount of time, not commensurable to the pay in our profession. So it's likely, for example, for a teacher, if they don't qualify or get the relief programs that have existed, Tim, you talked about the ones in the 2000s, you know, we became teachers too early to benefit from those. So even though we had student loan debt, we became teachers too early to qualify for a lot of the teacher forgiveness kinds of pathways. So, you know, I've been paying on this stuff for the better part of 20 years, and I'm at most able to have put a small dent in the amount. And I didn't go to a fancy private institution or anything. I went to a small directional, you know, working class college as a kid, you know, who's first gen. So parents didn't have the knowledge of what this meant for this, for the young people to take out loans. And so when we do that math, we start to see how, for how many people that's actually the reality. So I'm not an anomaly in this, right? So we start to think about what does these reliefs really do, and then take that amount of money and put it directly into the economy. Right? It's a no brainer. It's a no brainer. So I'm excited to hear, and I didn't even touch on the ways that people suffer. I'm pretty privileged, right? I've got a career. I've been able to make it work. But for how many people that there wasn't a degree at the end of that, and then two, who aren't able to seek gainful employment in that degree that they got. And so there's big justice issues here that I'm excited our guests to talk about, and maybe help clarify for our listeners. This whole debate is really a non-debate issue.
Alan, jump in there. Give us an education, man.
You know, Johnny, I think you nailed it all on the head. And just let me spit out a bunch of statistics to back up everything you just said. So here's kind of the big picture numbers. Even before the pandemic, around 85% of all borrowers, that's 4.5 out of 5 of everybody you know with student loans, they were underwater on the debt. So more than half of them were unable to make payments at all. This is before the pandemic. Another 30%, much like Johnny, they were paying and paying, but their loan balance was going up, not down. So these people were never going to be able to repay their loans. And to the haters that say, why should my tax dollars pay for your student loans? I say to them, don't flatter yourself, because the vast majority of the $1.6 or $7 trillion portfolio of federal student loan debt, it's not unpaid principal. It's interest and penalties and fees and other things. The people have paid, and they have paid, like in Johnny's case, through the freaking nose. My best estimate is that maybe $150 billion, probably less, of that $1.67 trillion is actual unpaid principal. And, you know, the federal government has been making, they've been booking a $50, $60 billion profit on this thing for the past 12 years. So unlike PPP loans, which all require money from the Treasury, add money to the national debt, every penny of federal student loan debt almost could be canceled, adding nothing to the debt, requiring not even a dime from the Treasury, not injecting any money into the consumer economy to stimulate inflation, I might add, because we've been on a repayment pause for 2.5 years now. So the taxpayers will be just fine. And by the way, you know, and congratulations on a great job, Johnny. 40% of student loan borrowers never graduated.
That's right.
Millions of them went to trade schools, you know, welding, plumbing, automotive. So Mike Rowe can stick it where the sun don't shine, if you know who that is. He can, you know, he's
dirty
trying
jobs, man.
The dirty jobs guy is trying to stoke these cultural divides. Oh, don't go to college. Oh, college people are snowflakes and they're liberals. Well, that's completely wrong. And one other very important statistic people may not realize is that older people now outnumber younger people with student loans. Older people outnumber younger people. And in fact, people over the age of 50 outnumber people under the age of 25 with student loan debt. And they owe 300% more on average, despite borrowing far less many years or decades ago.
Man, Alan, you are talking about somebody I know. He's 55, balding, living in Ohio, who's on that. Boy, you just ran it out. I was like, wait a minute. Are you talking about me? Holy crap. The number is 844-967-2789. Student loan forgiveness. Now, we're talking student loan justice tonight with Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org. And
.org,
Alan. The number 844-967-2789. Jump in, give us a call, because we are talking about this as a justice issue. Johnny, you point that out though too, and Alan, I saw this statistic. Is that part of the issue is that there are so many people who just don't really understand the math the way you just explained it right there. And when we're talking about that math, you know, I'm asking you questions, we're going into break to just kind of set you up, but the possibility when we come back from break, what is the suggestion, what is student loan justice, what does Johnny and Tim Busted Pencils, how do we help people understand this math so that it's, quote, nobody has to worry about this not being fair? It's always fair though on Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. We will be back after the break. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. We are always selling something. You can be here. Educated Educators Talking Education. The number is 844-967-2789. Our guest tonight from Student Loan Justice, Alan Collins. Collins, we're talking about student debt, student relief. And before we jump into that question I asked you, Alan, though, we got to call Lisa from LA. Lisa, what's going on? What's going on in your world? You got some student loan. You want some justice on? Talk to us.
Right, don't we all? I just wanted to, again, express my support for the points that Alan Collins had mentioned earlier. I am an advocate in this space of student loan justice, and while I personally do not have student loan debt anymore, I'm very involved in furthering the campaign to restore bankruptcy protections to student loan debt. There are currently two bills in Congress, in the Senate, S-2598, and in the House, H.R. 9110. And it's as much as we hear about the Biden cancellation plan that will basically amount to nothing for almost everybody, the most important feature for any meaningful structural change to the higher education lending system is the restoration of bankruptcy protections that should have been taken away to begin with.
Well, okay, Lisa, you mean to tell me though you've paid yours off? You're not upset that my kids might get a little forgiveness after you've done all the hard work of paying yours off?
Well, to the contrary, actually, I was one of the lucky, very, very few 1% of those public servants who had their student loans forgiven through the Public Service Loan Forgiveness plan. However, it was not for a lack of tears and exhaustion mentally and physically on my part. I'm very much in favor of complete and total cancellation. We should have never been in this situation to begin with in this country. And it would be a travesty to deny those who have worked so hard to their rightful relief. And this is something that can only really be achieved once bankruptcy protections are restored.
Alan, what do you want to add to Lisa's comment?
Yeah, no, you know, Lisa Premier stole all my thunder. That's... The loans will not be paid. The lending system at this point is catastrophically failed by all rational metrics. But, you know, politically, Lisa's right. This comes down to bankruptcy. The core injustice with student loans is the stripping, and nobody wants to file for bankruptcy. I get that. But, you know, the founding fathers, who they themselves were being just wrecked under debt to British banks and merchants and, you know, friends of the king and that kind of thing, they called for uniform bankruptcy laws in the Constitution ahead of the power to declare war and, you know, raise an army and build a navy. And if you look at the student loan, the unique student loan violation of the founder's wisdom, student loans are the only type of loan to be uniquely stripped of bankruptcy. You can see why bankruptcy is so important, because when you take the leverage of bankruptcy away, you give the lending side a license to steal. And the whole entire lending program is based on these perverted incentives now, where they can make far more money off a defaulted loan rather than a loan that remains in good stead. And just a whole parade of horribles ensue when you take away that fundamental base of power from the borrowers. So, you know, day in, day out, our group, we fight far harder for those two bills that Lisa just mentioned, S2598 and HR9110. Than for explicitly for cancellation. You know, the loans will be canceled, but politically, I don't think we're going to see that happen until we get bankruptcy back.
Well, you know what? How did we get to the point that somebody said, you know what, let's take bankruptcy off the table for student loans? Whose wisdom was that? Where does that come from?
It came from what I call the student loan swamp. So back in the 1970s, a whole bunch of interests, the newly formed company called Sallie Mae and its executives had jumped into the arena. They dominated the space. They convinced Congress that a bunch of young, newly minted lawyers and so forth were flocking to bankruptcy court from graduation and skating on their debts. They go, oh, we can't have this, so take bankruptcy protections away. Well, we now know in hindsight that that was never happening, that when student loans were treated the same as all other loans, the discharge rate was like 0.3%. So the whole thing was based on a false narrative that people were abusing the bankruptcy code. And I could name names like Joe Biden, this goes back, this is something that Congress did. And Congress broke this thing, and Congress needs to fix it.
You know, I think about that, and that one right there, just the whole idea that, you know, bankruptcy, I mean, you know, my student loans, talking about this 55 years old, the potential that they will, you know, follow me until I'm buried upside down with my butt pointing up and they plant a flower in my, you know what, you know, the fact that the reality there to think about that is that they're inescapable, this debt, and to talk about that where, you know, if you're talking about a justice, okay, let forgiveness or whatever, but how in the world is it fair to say, you know, if, hey, you drop $1 million and you lose it on a business adventure, you're protected by bankruptcy protections. Student loan people, not you. I know we got Mike on the line from Ohio. We're on our 1 minute break. Mike, I want to hold you over until the break so that we can get you fresh on the start there. And then we're also going to come back to also have an Alan help us explain a little bit of this math. It is Busted Pencils. It is Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 844-967-2789. When we get back, Mike from Ohio, and we will be back also with Alan to help us deal with the math. And maybe we'll even talk to Johnny Lupinacci a little bit. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, back after the break. Oh, that's the time right there. Go Busted Pencils. Fully Leaded Education Talk. Educated educators talking education. Talking student loan justice. Studentloanjustice.org. Our guest, Alan Collins. Mike from Ohio, we held you over. Mike, what do you got to say about, is this a student loan justice issue, or are you one of these people calling in to tell me to quit whining?
Hey, I'm not telling you to quit whining. This is a bunch of crap. Right now, it's no way you can pay these loans. I've been working since I was 14 years old and always paid all my bills. But I had $43,000, filed a bankruptcy, thought my student loan was in it, ended up with $20,000 more in interest, and I ended up being injured, and that's why I ended up having to go through get student loans. And I worked heavy steel before that. I'm a truck driver now. But I had to be off for about 22 years without being able to lift over 20 pounds and had to build my body back up. Now I drive a semi. I work 14-hour days and an hour commute both ways. I'd like to work more, but I can't. And I still ain't able to pay the loans because I got to be able to live, and I'm barely making a living right now, especially the way fuel is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not like I want somebody to pay my loans. If it was set to where they was actual real loans, like a regular car loan or a mortgage, where you actually had something going out off the principal, but right now it's not, and that's a bunch of BS. These lawmakers need to get off their butts and get these bills passed, that S2598 and HR9110, to get us back to where we can get bankruptcy protection so we can get out of these are predatory loans right now. Mm, when you're paying interest on interest, that you know, you can't even pay them off. And they've got it set up that way.
That's it, Mike. I mean, this is what we're hearing about this, you know, talking about the unfairness, and this is why it really is, you know, forget about forgiveness. Let's talk about justice here. Alan, Mike, thank you from calling from Ohio. I know we got Jackie on the line from Texas. We're going to go to her. But, you know, Alan, what do you have to say on Mike? Is this a typical situation you hear about?
We hear about that all the time. And I applaud Mike for standing up and speaking out, because more people like him need to do that. You know, everybody thinks the people with student loans are a bunch of elitist, entitled, liberal snowflakes. I don't know what Mike's political persuasions are, but he doesn't sound like a liberal type of guy to me. But yeah, this is an American problem. This isn't a partisan problem. And I see we've got a call coming from Texas. I can't wait, because the people of Texas are being absolutely buried in student loan debt. And maybe I'll hold my fire.
Well, let's hold that. Jackie from Texas, welcome to Busted Pencils. What do you got to say about student loan justice?
Hi, I would like to talk about the write-off or the cancellation.
Okay, go for it.
Most people are saying that the taxpayers are going to be footing the bill, or that all the people that have already paid for it are going to have more to pay. When actually, in the accounting world, and I do realize that there's not that many accounting people out there, but I used to be an accountant for the Department of Defense. So I know exactly how the write-offs work because that was my department. So what happens is, in order to patch up the business relationship, because it's never going to get sorted out about, it's kind of like you say we owe this, but we say we owe this. So nothing gets sorted out. And what happens is there's a business write-off. So the write-off happens and the slate is wiped clean. No one gets that money put onto their account. No one pays for that. It's just like a wipe away. It's written off. It's cleared. The slate is clean so that you can continue to do business and not owe some ridiculous amount of money because no one knows what happened. Well, that's exactly everything about student loans. No one knows how it got this way. It's all messed up. It's all predatory. It's all illegal. So what mm-hmm. needs to happen is that Biden needs to get off his butt and wipe this away. It's called a cancellation. He can use the Higher Education Act. He can get it cleared off. He can reform the system, and then he might start over new. All education should be free up to the master's. So this is a bit ridiculous.
It is. Alan, okay, there you go. Is that what you're hearing in Texas?
You know, it depends on who you talk to in Texas. You know, right. That lawsuit that you just mentioned, there's a lot of student loan interest in the state of Texas. You know, the people of Texas owe collectively $141 billion on paper on mostly federal student loan debt. I mean, the entire state budget of Texas is only $123 or $124 billion. So Texas, the Texans will never, I mean, what would happen if we somehow scraped $141 billion out of the hides of the people of Texas? It would be a disaster. And the caller is right. Jackie is right. Writing off these loans, as I said, for the reasons I said before, the money has been largely repaid at this point. Writing off these loans, unlike PPP loans, requires not $1 from the Treasury. It adds not one dime to the national debt. And, you know, because the repayment pause has been going on for so long now, it's not like when the loans are canceled, people are going to all of a sudden have this money to start spending and cause inflation. No, that's not going to happen.
Stop on that, because that is one of the concerns supposedly being put out there is that how this will contribute to inflation. And we, you know, back to the first break, we were saying, coming back into this math, and Jackie, thank you for calling from Texas and the accounting here. But here is this math kind of thing where when I get on my high horse about how unfair this is, that it's going to come out of my taxes to pay Johnny Lupinacci's student loan bill, the reality is that you're saying, no, it's not going to, quote, come out of anybody's taxes because we don't have to do that. But then this other part of the way you talked about it, I didn't think about that. They haven't been collecting student loan payments in 2.5 years, though. And I know you're saying about that might inflation. But I'm also sitting there going, it's like, you know, and for 2.5 years, they haven't been collecting debts from certain people. The federal government didn't go broke over those 2.5 years over this.
You know, in fact, the deficit has actually gone down over the past 2 years, despite the government not collecting on these loans. I might add, before the pandemic, more than half of everyone was not making payments anyways. 58% of all borrowers were either unable to make payments or they were in an income-driven repayment program and they were making $0 payments. So essentially, they weren't paying. And the inflation thing is complete nonsense. It's for the reasons that you said, but also remember this. The 8.1% inflation that the nation is living under right now costs the average household about $500 a month. Canceling every dollar of federal student loan debt would only return to the average student loan borrower household about $400 a month. So we could cancel student loans, and the borrowers out there, they would still be scraping, not able to keep up with inflation. So
I could buy my 90% lean ground beef instead of 80% lean ground beef then with that savings. And it's, you know, Johnny Lupinacci, man, you're sitting there just taking it all in tonight and looking at this. But, you know, John, you are a math guy. I mean, were you aware? I mean, obviously you were aware of the fact that mathematically you were paying on your loan over the last 20 years and you weren't paying down the principal. You'd go like, yo, something's going on there. But this, you know, communicating and talking like this mathematically, is that part of the issue we're dealing with here? Is that people don't understand math?
No, I mean, I think there's a lot of, you know, a lot of smoke around the math. I mean, okay. I think there's a lot of, I think folks in general can understand that because almost everybody has some kind of a loan, unless you have some sort of independent wealth or the privilege to be able to, you know, have accumulated enough capital to pay directly for what's going on. We live in a sort of borrowing economy. And so like Mike called and gave a really great example. And I just want to say, like, thank you for our callers tonight, because they're representing the general consensus out there that student loan debt is impacting the everyday person in this country from all across different states. And like, you know, Alan has said tonight, it's nonpartisan. It is a, you know, an issue of our country's well-being, right? And Mike gave us that great example, right? We're at most common familiar with like a car loan or a home mortgage, you know, or even in this moment, which gets kind of predatory and dangerous too, is credit cards, right? Which we saw just boom, kind of at the time of student loan debt also going really, really into the air with big plumes. And so, you know, even credit card debt, where you have a real conscious, I got this and I'm paying this and I can see the principal and I can manage it and it's regulated, right? I mean, for the most part, it's pretty regular. It's pretty regulated. Student loan debt sort of exists in the shadows for long enough to where it came back and just, I mean, did a heck of a number on our economy. It did a heck of a number on putting so many people into situations that cause bankruptcy. They didn't directly cause bankruptcies, but they put and stretched hardworking, bill-paying citizens, right, so thin that they had to decide how they were going to rob Peter to pay Paul, right? And in robbing Peter to pay Paul, this sort of shadow loan debt really grew massive, and it sort of became a dark cloud over a lot of the financial planning and stability of hardworking Americans. And so I don't want to say like people don't understand the math, you know, then we get to pick on math teachers and they get it hard enough. But in general, we don't understand the sort of shadow work that student loan debt has grown in. And I think, you know, Student Loan Justice Org helps us understand that. Our callers tonight help us understand that. I think conversations around this, destigmatizing it, really making it, you know, open. How many folks have this? Because, you know, we're coming out of an era of where there's great shame in having debt. And more people have it and more people are really straddled with it than ever before. And so if we could fix that as a country, wow, man, could we really gain some healthy momentum towards justice, equity, you know, strong employment, a revamped and improved education system. And all of those are matters of national security. So, you know, I love listening tonight because the more we can just have conversations about this, where we destigmatize it and we make it part of our everyday change, it doesn't matter who we elect partisan-wise, it's who runs in those parties, who understands that the experience of the everyday, you know, citizen in this country is deserving of that kind of liberty and pursuit of freedom.
Man, you know what, though, too, thinking about that, you just maybe, yeah, we'll take a break on the math teachers. That wasn't where I was going. But the social studies teachers, though, Alan, going back early on, the idea that the, you know, the founding fathers, the true patriots, put bankruptcy ahead. So bankruptcy is a freedom patriotic issue. And then I'm hearing Johnny talking, and the next thing you know, I'm going, okay, and for those of you Christian nationalists, this feels like a Christian movement to do away with debt. I don't understand then all of the turmoil around this. This has conservatism written all over it. This is patriotic. This is freedom loving, and this is God worshiping to do student loan justice. Alan, I'll give you 1 minute here before we cut you off, and then we'll come back.
You're exactly right. This is a conservative, or should be a conservative issue. This is a big government lending system. Make no mistake. The Department of Education owns 87% of these loans. The worst hurt states is the entire South. If you look at the average earnings versus average debt, the worst states are North and South Carolina, Alabama, Texas. It's literally, look at a map of the United States, and it is one solid red block of the South. This is a lending system no conservative should be fighting for. It makes no sense.
Oh, our guest, Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org. Check it out. We need more followers, more people in the know. Alan, thank you so much for your time on Busted Pencils tonight. When we get back, Johnny Lupinacci and I break it down. Busted Pencils, back after the break.
We are the nowhere generation. We are the kids that no one wants. We are a credible threat to the rules you set across to be alarmed. We are not the names that we've been given.
We know the names you've been giving us. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 844-967-2789. The nowhere generation, the kids that no one wants. Hey, though. Shout out to the kids in the last election last week. The younger Gen Z demographic out there making the world hear them. We appreciate you. And in fact, this student loan issue, Johnny, when we talk about this student loan justice, student loan forgiveness, when we talk about, you know, the issues dealing with things that are hurting, you know, students, you know, my think about, you know, my son just graduated college in May, right? And as you said, you know, the world is ahead of him, except for, you know, guess what? He's got to throw a little bit extra, not even a little bit extra, probably more than enough. And you sit there and go, what would the contribution to the economy be if he was able to actually take that as a 22, 23-year-old young man and do what he probably would do with it, which is if you had it, guess what? Spend it. Johnny, you were talking about that, the reality of saying just giving people this ability to spend this money should give people a thought to go, that's why it makes sense.
Yeah, man. And I think there's, it's not as simple as I would like to just say, why can't we have a public education system that is, you know, non-debt accruing for students, and the transition to that is just not going to be an abrupt one. But I do think we can do a lot to reform it to where it's headed in that direction, in terms of where the cost of providing an education to someone is, you know, commensurable to what they can give, either through taxation or through tuition, and mm-hmm. it's capped. It's at a reasonable rate. I mean, when we look back at how do we get here, we start to look at a reduced amount of tax support for especially higher education. So lowering the amount of dollars that came from, you know, states allocated to providing the education. And we saw an increase in tuition for students, one that was far above what they could technically afford to maintain that level of enrollment in their universities. And so what padded this whole disconnect was student loans. And it just continued to increase and increase and increase. And you know, it kind of, like I said before, it grew in a bit of a shadow for whatever reason, whether we didn't want to look at it or we had hopes that it might sort of even out. But it was a huge problem. And I think about where we're at now. We're in major need of a redo. I don't think there's any way to say school can be free. Nothing's free, mm-hmm. but certainly a radical reforming of how do we balance out things out. And immediately, you know, Tim, I look at something like for a period of time, you should have to have a percentage of what you make in your, you know, in your earnings go back towards some form of repayment, or, you know, just bring things to scale would be a massive break to so many folks with student loans. We look back at how many people would have already repaid sometimes 2-3 times over the amount if that were the case. And that money immediately goes directly into the economy. If you take an average, if you just survey around from folks you know, how much they monthly spend, not when it's paused, but how much they monthly spend on their student loans, on student loan repayment. And even of those, how many have paid for 10 years or more, right? You start to look immediately on one of the largest stimulus, direct stimulus into the economy. Where's that money going to go? It's going to go into savings. It's going to go into investments. It's going to go into purchasing of cars, of property, of vacations. It's going to immediately build and be a stimulus to an economy. What better time than coming out of, you know, the pandemic, where businesses have struggled to stay open, where, you know, local economies have had a real hard time, you know, maintaining consistent customers. This would be a moment to stimulate the economy directly in that way, and kind of a middle and meet in the middle, you know, where higher education gets a chance to get back to where tuition is on keel with what students can pay upon graduating.
And I don't want to go down there too much because we don't have a lot of time here for the tonight. But, you know, that is one of the, quote, criticisms of student loan forgiveness programs is that this just allows higher education to continue to overinflate the price. And according to some of those people, that's the real problem, not
it's part of it.
Yeah,
it's absolutely part of it. And, you know, that's why I say, like, there's got to be an adjustment, Tim, right? Part of that's self-preservation too. I'll be really honest, like, for a lot of my colleagues, right, their jobs go away immediately if they don't have the enrollment that student loans allow for. So prices of cost of education to the student has to go down, which also means, like, there's got to be a balance out of things if we can wipe it clean, but we also got to make sure we don't end up in the same boat again in 10, 15 years. And so there's a real kind of whole commitment to what that will look like. And Alan will fill us in. We'll have Alan back. We'll continue these conversations in future shows, Tim, because there are experts even in higher ed who can speak to this. The pathway forward, we've learned from this mistake. We're in a debacle. It's a major issue. Let's fix it, fix the economy, and get back to education that's affordable and accessible to all those who seek it.
Appreciate that. Johnny Lupinacci dropping some wisdom right there. Oh, busted pencils.
Maybe whiz. I don't know about it.
No, just put it out there. But, you know, we think about this and you say, you know, again, thank you for the callers tonight. We appreciate all of that. Alan, great guest. We definitely want to have him back on the show again because this is an issue. And we say we started the show with Evan saying he's not giving up hope.
Not yet.
Not giving up hope. And in fact, you say we're going to continue to do this, you know, here on Busted Pencils to make sure that, you know, again, we typically, this is an education issue. This is an educators talking education issue here. And we want to keep bringing this up because, you know what, if we can have more people with a sense and understanding the reality of the fact that people are paying for 10, 15 years and still getting into more debt. My, there we got a problem. Busted Pencils, fully leaded.
Pencils.
See you next week.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
This is Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
We are Busted!